checkmate. Amen? Checkmate. When you get in, somebody sitting across from you and they say checkmate, that means they have put you and your king in a situation that you ain't got no more moves to go. And there's a new king. I want to tell you this morning, it's time to tell the devil checkmate. Amen? It's time to tell the devil checkmate. The devil is doing things and he think he's got us booked into a corner and we don't have no more moves to make. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but somebody's backed in the corner and you think you have no more moves to make. But I'm here today to tell you that his checkmate ain't God's checkmate, because God always has another move to make when it comes to his people. Amen? There's a picture in Paris, a very famous picture. And it's a picture, and it's the devil, it's Satan, and a young man sitting at a desk playing chess. And the devil has this look on his face of checkmate. This chess master went to the museum and looked at this painting with his friend. And he kept looking at this painting and looking at this painting and looking at this painting. His friend said, man, I'm tired. I'm going. He stood there looking at the painting. And he realized that there's another move that the young man can make. And he jumped up and ran out and screamed, there's another move. And I'm saying today, there's another move that God is going to make today in your life. The devil don't have you in checkmate, amen? But he wants to convince you that he's got you in checkmate. But I'm here to tell you that God is the chess master of our lives. He's doing some new things in our lives. And when he does them, when you see somebody play chess, they sit there and they stare at the board. But there's something going on in their mind and they're analyzing moves that the opponent might make. God might not seem like he's moving in your life, but he's analyzing the moves that he makes. So while you think it's a delay, it's not a denial in what he's going to do for you. Amen? The devil thought he was going to win when he had the Pharisees hang Jesus on the cross. I say checkmate. The devil thought he was going to win when he sent Pharaoh's army across into the Red Sea after Moses. You know what God said? Checkmate. He thought that he won when he had Joseph sold into slavery and in prison. You know what God said? Checkmate. Amen? He's saying checkmate to whatever situation you're in today. God's final move is always the final move. You see, when we look at the word of God, sometimes we got to go back. Because when we go forward and we read something, we forgot what happened before. You know, a lot of times we said, if he did it before, he'll do it again. So in Ephesians 6 and 12, we all realize that they say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We always hear that. Amen? And we say, now we got to put on the full armor of God. But I want you to go way back in the beginning of Ephesians. Because if you go back in the beginning of the book of Ephesians, God made a promise. He made a statement, and we forget about it when we always read Ephesians 6. So when you go to Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 17, it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that is which to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So when we read that in the first chapter of Ephesians, God has already told us that he put everything under Christ's feet. So when we get to 6 and we start talking about powers and principalities, the battle's already been won. God had already said, checkmate. But Paul's prayer in saying all of that is that we would know the knowledge of God. We have to know the knowledge of God. Amen? And we have to know the knowledge and the calling and the hope of their calling. If we don't have knowledge, we don't understand. You see, the devil has us confused and turning flips because we don't understand who it is that is our Father. Amen? When you look at everything that is around you and you put it into motion, who do you suppose did that? Who has that much power? The enemy don't have that kind of power. As a matter of fact, he don't have power in heaven, and he don't have power under the heaven. He only got power right here on this earth. Amen? And I want to know today, if you had that kind of power, what would you do with that kind of power? You see, what he did, what Christ did, is he says, I command you to go in all the world and preach the gospel. And a lot of times when somebody's leaving us and they tell us what to do, we don't like it. You see, Christ was leaving, and he says, I command you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we're saying, God, the disciples were probably thinking, Lord, you want us to go do all of that, but you're leaving us. But listen to what he says. And lo, I will be with you always. Always. He is not a man, a person, a deity that has to lie. He said, lo. Do you know what lo means? It's like, understand that I will be with you always, even until the end. Even until the end of everything that we'll ever understand in this earth. Amen? When Jesus told them to go preach the gospel, we know that it doesn't sound right. And sometimes when we are given an assignment, it don't sound right. But God blesses you for your obedience. Amen? I believe that we have to know the importance of the power that is available to us. You see, when Christ told them, go preach the gospel, they really didn't understand the power that was available to them. In Acts, they began to understand the power that was available to them. As Christians, as we have gone through things, we sing this song and it keeps running in my mind about the lover of my soul. When we realize what the lover of our soul has done to us, has done for us, you don't understand what he can do through you. The lover of your soul loves you deeper than the lover of your personality. He loves you more than the way that you look. He loves you more than what you got. He loves your soul. The lover of your soul has given you so much power to overcome everything that he has overcome in this world. He's given you more power than he used in this earth. Because when he left, he said it. He said, more things will you have power to do than I have done. And we don't even know all the things that he'd done while he was here. Because the Bible will tell you, and more miracles did he create. And it's not even recorded. So we need to understand the power that we have as children of the Almighty. Even Paul, when he had done all of these things, he wanted Jesus to just clear up a little bursitis or something going on in his hip. Amen? But he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. All the things that you're going to do, all the obstacles that you're going to overcome, my grace is sufficient. Don't worry about, you know, we're so busy worrying about the little things. We're so busy worrying about the little things. There's always going to be little things. But when you look at the big picture of what God has done for you, the big picture of where he brought you from, the big picture of what he's taken you through. We're so busy looking at us that we're not looking at everything in and about and around us that we are responsible for. Maybe you don't have money, but maybe your child has money. Maybe they got the job that you couldn't get. Maybe they have the car that you couldn't get. Maybe they have the house that you couldn't get. But God bless your seed. He didn't bless you. He blessed you through your seed. He told Abraham, you're going to have so many seeds that you won't even be able to number them. Your seed could have so many blessings, you might not be able to number them. So we can't worry about us. As long as we believe that God has got everything in control. Amen? And that when the devil does something, we already can say, checkmate. Checkmate. We can walk in the court, checkmate. We can walk on the job, checkmate. We can look at our relationship with others and we can say, checkmate. When Jonathan went out against the Philistines, he told his armor bearer, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by so few. It means to say, when God does a work, he can save many or he can save a few. It's up to him how many he wants to save. But because they were going up against a large number, he was saving a few, and he was going against many. We understand that the power is only to those that believe. It's not enough to know that it's available to you. How many times have you done something, and you didn't even know it was available? You said, well, I didn't even know that was available to me. Not knowing that something's available to you will stop you from using something. Amen? But when it comes to the power that God has given us through Jesus Christ, that power is only to those that believe. Because I know people in here right now say, oh, the power's available. And you come up to the altar and you want us to pray with you because you know it's available. But it's only available to those that believe. If you don't believe, there's no power. It's available, but there's no power. Jesus said to the father whose son was possessed by an evil spirit, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Jesus said to Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, did I not say to you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? I say to us this morning, we have to believe to see the glory of God. So that just don't go saying checkmate unless you believe that God has already put the devil in control and say checkmate. The Lord is more interested in you walking straight and understanding his power and his glory. Somebody say ouch. I have to start again. The Lord is more interested in you understanding his power, believing in his power, than you falling out backwards and shouting. Because you could shout but not believe. You could fall out and not believe. You could dance and have no rhythm. We have so much power that Paul finished a chapter of Ephesians like this. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to prevent you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That is Paul's second prayer to the Ephesians. In it, he asks for God to do some incredible, impossible things for them. And then he closes it with those words of assurance. Church, I pray that God will do some incredible, impossible things for you. It says, now unto him. You see, when the doctor said, you only got X amount of time to live, I want you to understand that the power and belief in the God that you serve says that he can do incredible things, and it's not what the doctor said. I want you to understand that the power of the God that you serve can change any situation around. But you have to believe in the power. Jesus always says, if thou believest. If he was here this morning and you came up with something that the world and the enemy has told you is impossible, before he prays for you, he will ask you, if thou believest. But we have a problem with believing. Because believing, the world has told us that believing, seeing is believing. Jesus wants us to believe before we see. There is no miracle that he has done that he didn't do if the person didn't believe. Somebody here today is looking for a miracle. Somebody today is going against a quote-unquote impossible situation. My question is, do you believe? Christ has said in 1 John 5:4, it says, for whoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We have the power to overcome the enemy. My wife and I were talking this morning, and she said, you know, the enemy just keeps trying, and he keeps trying. He keeps doing things. I said, well, what do you expect him to do? I said, he's not going to quit. He's not a quitter. He's not a quitter. I said, but I want you to realize something. He knows that his time is limited and we're coming to the end of time, so he's going to try harder. So what you complaining about? He's going to keep trying. It's the 12th round already. He's failing. He's just throwing shots at us. Just throwing shots at us. You ever see somebody in a boxing match? They're all beat up. Their eyes are swollen. Blood running from their face. But they still fighting like they got a chance to win. They're looking for a box punch, a lucky punch. The enemy is throwing boxes. He's throwing punches at you. And sometimes he gets a lucky punch because you don't believe, because you don't step back and let him just flail, because you don't know that already the victory is at hand. It's already in the bag. It's already been determined. It's already been predestinated. We already been told. Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Here, tricks of the enemy. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're not just a conqueror. We are more than conquerors. More means abundantly. More means greater. More means a lot. So we're not just a conqueror. We're more than conquerors. Then he goes on to say his own personal testimony, for I am persuaded. You know, persuasion is something else. Have you ever been persuaded? Have you ever been persuaded? Am I talking to a live church today? Am I talking to people that have been persuaded? Am I talking to people that have taken a chance? That thought that they were right about something, that you had a conviction about what it is that you were doing. We need to get persuaded. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, there they go again, nor powers, there they go again, not things present, not things to come, not height nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate it. From the love of God. He said, I am persuaded. I am convinced. I understand. I in my whole being, my whole heart, I in all of the technical terms and schooling that I have gone through as a Hebrew Jew, but I am persuaded now as a Christian that Jesus Christ, God incarnate, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Hallelujah. Here is a person that had all the training that one could ever have. Here is one that so many people looked up to. Here is one who spent his conviction convicting Christians. And now he's not convicting them no more because he is persuaded that death nor life, height or depth, nor creature, no nothing, no how, no nothing, could separate him from the love of God. Don't you understand that this is what the enemy's goal is, to separate you from the love of God? And you got to be persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God. When sickness comes, The enemy wants to separate you from the love of God. When depression comes around, he wants to separate you from the love of God. When you don't get along with somebody, he wants to separate you from the love of God. When you don't have a job, he wants to separate you from the love of God. The only way that you can have that kind of persuasion is to believe that God has the power over everything and that you have a right as his child, that you have an inheritance, that blessings is yours. Believe, persuade. Believe, persuade. See, the enemy wants to persuade you that you should not believe that. Paul said, I am persuaded. I want to know, church, are we persuaded this morning? Hallelujah. The power is according to the working of his mighty power. The power is according to the working of his mighty power. The mighty power that God has was manifested in the creation of the universe. It has been manifested many times in the history of man. It was manifested in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The scripture says, which was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. God raised Christ from the dead. He showed his power when he raised him from the dead. There is nothing else, there's nothing greater, there's nothing more fearful to anybody in humanity except death. I'm not talking about animals. I'm not talking about dogs. I'm talking about us as human beings. You can say how you don't fear death until you start dying. When you start dying, you call me and say, Pastor, I'm not fearing death. I'll say, I believe you. But there are people in Christ who know where they're going because they have an assurance of where they're going. They don't fear death. You see, I got that. I got that. Before I was in Christ, and my mother used to say, I don't care if Christ took me now, if I left now, because I know where I'm going. I thought she was out of her mind. But I got that now. If you know who you know, and you know who you are, and you know where you're going, if you believe, and if you are persuaded, you don't fear death. Because the person that overcame death, he's in you. And you are in him. But you ain't in him, and he ain't in you. You better fear death. Because you know what? Eternity's a long time. And if you ain't going up, you're going down. Eternity's a long time. I remember somebody says, I don't want to be in the smoking section of that ride. I don't want to be in that smoking section. I want to be in that section where they're drinking nice cool iced tea and lemonade and all of that stuff. David talked about the power of God. David spoke about this in the Old Testament. Christ had not came. Christ had not died. Christ had not risen. He said in Psalm 16, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiced. My flesh shall also rest in hope. For thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence, fullness of joy at thy right hand. There are pleasures forevermore. David knew who would be at the right hand of the Father. Christ talked about being at the right hand of the Father. Peter interpreted that psalm in Act 2. He says, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Having loosed the pains of death. He's saying here, if you loosen something, that means that it was tight. Death is tight. But he said, God raised him up and loosed the pains of death. Because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. He says that it is not possible that death could hold Jesus down. It's not possible that that could be done. We spoke about it in the Old Testament. We spoke about it in the New Testament. Jesus himself says in John 10, I lay down my life and I take it up again. Nobody take it from me. Nobody take it from me. I lay my life down, and again, I take it up. But I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Those are the words of Christ. He says, I lay it down, I take it up. I did it myself. And I can do that because of my Father. Let me tell you, the enemy wants to put you in situations where you seem like you don't have power. And you'll go down in something. But let me tell you, Jesus will pick you up. He puts you in situations where you have to go through it and grow through it. And when you grow through it, he wants you to grow in your understanding. He wants you to grow in your faith. He wants you to grow in your persuasion. So that when you're down in that dump and people are looking at you saying, man, look at you. Girl, look at you. That you could say, but I am persuaded that either life nor death, nor creature can separate from the love of God. Don't you want to have that kind of persuasion? Don't you want to get there? When we sing praises like we sang today, we're getting there. Amen? In the scripture, he said, far above all principality and power, might or dominion, and every name that is named. Principality, power, might, and dominion. I have already spoke to you about them being rankings of the spirit world. They're like major, captain, sergeant, corporal. But Jesus is above all of them. Hallelujah. He is king. Hallelujah. Now, I want to share something with you. I want you to know that Jesus is above each and everything I just named, right? You have the Jehovah Witness that declare that Jesus is Michael, the archangel. Jesus is more than an archangel. He's more than that. Amen? You have the Mormons that teach you that Jesus is Lucifer's brother. He's far above Lucifer's brother. Amen. Both Michael and Lucifer were created by Jesus. So if he created them, how could he be their brother? The scripture says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Without him, there's nothing made that was made. It says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Those angels that he sends down to protect us, to cover us, they were created by him. So can't no angel tell him what to do? Lucifer was once an angel. So how can an angel tell him what to do? Our children try to tell us what to do, right, parents? Don't we put them in their place? They can't tell us what to do. We got to know where we're at in Christ. Lucifer was not his brother. But you know what? We're his children. We're his children. If we're his children, there's nothing you won't do for your child. There's nothing that he won't do for you. Amen? We have to know the power that we have. We got to know when we call on the Lord what he can do for us. We have to know that not only is the Satan our enemy, but it's his enemy first. Amen? We have to know what it is that we have possession of. And his name, that name of Jesus, is far above every name. Peter said in Acts 4 and 10, be it known unto all, you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this man stand here firm before you whole. He's saying, you know, you guys are sitting up there in this council, and you have all this power in this particular place right now. But I want to tell you something. You know the guy that you crucified? The one that you hung on the cross? The one that rose after the third day? I have the guts to stand here before you now and tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you. Because you want to know how I can sit up there and say these things. God is telling you today that whatever it is that you're going through, because you are in Christ, and Christ is in you, that you can stand up and tell the enemy today, because of the person that was crucified, you know, on the cross and died and rose again on the third day, that I can sit up here and tell you today what I can tell you. You turn around to the devil when he thinks that he's got you covered, say, mate. From this day forth, you don't have to say nothing else. Checkmate. From this day forth, he knows what it is that you're saying. He knows the position that you're in. No matter what he does, you know that God's got another move for you to get you out of there, to heal you, to deliver you. You tell the devil, checkmate. Let us stand this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to remember what was written in Scripture. Remember the declaration of God to Satan and how the Lord would put enmity between the serpent's seed and the woman's seed, and how that seed of the woman would bruise his head and that Satan would bruise his heel. Amen? Remember in the Scripture that it is said that he put everything under his feet. And he gave him to be the head over all things. Whatever's in your life, God is over all things. And he has Satan and his minions under his feet. When God has the Satan under his feet, it's more deadly than a chokehold. He has him under his feet and you can't move God. He is standing there and he's choking whatever little life he's got left. He is screaming and he's squealing. But he's under God's feet. What is written is a promise to you. But there's certain words that were used in scripture today. And I shall repeat them. Believe and persuasion. If there's something going on in your life, believe that God can handle it today.